I'm Marcus Smith. Our Constant Wonder Advent commemoration is approaching its culmination. Thus far along the way, our audio calendar has offered meaningful stories about gardens, planets, angels, bell ringers, animals. I hope that our time together has brought you a welcome respite for peaceful reflection, as day by day we have approached the time when we traditionally celebrate the birth of Jesus. A feeling of anticipation may be coming to its peak in your home. After all, today is December 24th. In this episode for Christmas Eve, we'll consider the hope and light represented by some remarkable, seemingly improbable forests that are found as small green islands in the deserts of Ethiopia. I want you to meet Philippe Lazzaro.
To me, so much of Advent revolves around anticipation, especially being able to hold out that hope during a time of darkness. And so rather than just seeing hope as a, yeah, things are going to work out, I know that there's a happy ending on the other side. More often than not, it looks like holding on when just the surroundings and everything else look like they're telling you not to.
Philippe Lazzaro is communication manager and storyteller for an organization that calls itself Plant with Purpose. It's a charity rooted in Christian faith that addresses poverty in many places around the world. Their approach entails principles of wise environmental stewardship, with aims and practices such as regenerative agriculture, reducing monocultures, or something as simple as planting trees in deforested areas. In Ethiopia, for instance, Plant with Purpose has connected with communities that have been growing small forests in places where growing anything at all hardly seems possible.
The Ethiopian church has had this long-standing tradition of keeping forests around their church spaces. These are sacred forests that expand around the perimeter of an actual church building. And Christianity in Ethiopia has very, very ancient roots and also a lot of ties to the Christmas story via the wise men and via frankincense. But the story of these church forests is that Ethiopia as a whole country has gotten deserted pretty intensely over the years. Many parts of the country look like dry dirt, sand, but if you're hovering over the eastern part via satellite or Google Maps or something, you might find these occasional green splotches. And when you move in closer, you'll start to see that it is a church forest. And a few years ago, I had the chance to step into some of these forests. It was incredible. I mean, you feel the temperature drop almost as soon as you walk in. It's louder just because there's more life within it. And it has such a strong contrast to the opposite surroundings. And that's kind of how I see them, as like these little pockets of hope and of life amidst a desert that might otherwise be barren.
These church forests are each a striking picture, with their verdant, thick vegetation surrounded by arid desert. How many are there? Well, about 35,000. To get the full picture of what's going on, here's a little background that might help. Long ago, Ethiopia was extensively covered by continuous forest, lush and green, made up of shrubs like lantana and hibiscus, and trees like wild olive, fig, and yes, even Boswellia sacra, the frankincense tree. That's how the landscape looked historically until overgrazing and unsustainable farming practices took a drastic ecological toll as land was cleared. Extensive forests were gradually turned to barren land. Some estimates say that about a century ago, only 40% of Ethiopia still was forest, and today, less than 4% of the original forest of Ethiopia remains. And these few remaining areas, as you now might easily guess, are essentially only these preserved islands of green around the churches that Philippe is talking about. An average church forest today is around 12 acres in size, but some are several hundred acres.
A cool thing that we've started seeing happen is that our team over there is working to build these corridors to connect these church forests. And so, yeah, there is these pockets of life and further life waiting to happen, just sitting in the midst of an otherwise open desert. So to see these corridors, just imagine a strip of land connecting one church forest to another that begins to be replenished to the condition of those church forests. So you can imagine local community members, church parishioners, priests and laypersons going in there, planting trees, working with the soil to get it healthier to a spot where suddenly these are less just dots and maybe more like nodes that are interconnected. And these corridors can become bridges of life between one another. And I think if you end up connecting more and more of these, that just makes it easier for the land in between them to revitalize. Nature often has that effect where you start to restore a few pieces and it can often take it from there.
Did you know about these forests before you got there?
A bit, yeah. I mean, several years ago, I think I started to find out about that. I think, you know, Nat Geo has done some features on it. And then when we started working in Ethiopia, one of the people who we had gotten in contact with was actually a Nat Geo photographer who I think has won awards for his aerial photos of the church forests, which were always impressive. When we started working there, I was like, I hope I get to go soon. That just sounds like an amazing thing to step into. And sure enough, I think it lived up to those expectations. So many parts of the world have a value of hospitality that I think we could learn a lot from. The reception that we got from the churches, we walked in to priests in attire welcoming us, drums and bells and a whole lot of fanfare. I've had priests say pretty directly or explicitly, like, climate change is a result of a broken relationship between God and people, it's a way of seeing things that just comes very, very naturally to people in this setting. Just this understanding that caring for the earth, it's not an add-on to one's faith. It's part of the package. It's what you do.
You describe the starkness of the desert and then these oases. I'm wondering if you could just maybe offer an interpretation of that links it then to the story of the Nativity. The best hospitality that came to the Holy Family was not at the inn. They got a manger, a stable, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just such a contrast between that desert and the green space, where one is welcoming and inviting and caring and loving, and the other just seems that it's harsh and rejecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's the connection I see between that and the Christmas story in Advent, is it's not the sanitized celebratory version that you might be able to find looking at it in retrospect, but it's the arrival of hope at a time of political turmoil and packed inns because of a census and just a lot going on. You know, it comes at night first to shepherds and pastoralists out with their flock, you know, people who often seem forgotten about. To me, I think that that often reminds me of the way God or holiness arrives. It's often at a time that might feel dark or even forgotten about or busy. It often arrives in a quiet spot where it's so easy to overlook.
Caring for these church forests is quiet, steady, unassuming work performed by priests and clerics who have great loyalty to the conservation of these trees. Tending to these small wooded areas is very near to the heart of their hope and their faith. These are sacred places where they pray and offer their devotions. Now, earlier, Philippe Lazzaro mentioned the wise men. He was referring to an ancient Ethiopian tradition, kept alive and celebrated among Christians there. The tradition says that the Magi originated right there in Ethiopia, set out for Bethlehem from their very own country. This is a matter of considerable regional pride. Of course, the biblical nativity story takes pains to weigh the matter of poverty, depicting worldly nobility such as these wise men. Then there's even royalty in a figure like the evil King Herod. As impressive as we might imagine the wise men to have been, nevertheless, they, not Herod, bow down before a divine infant. In In Ethiopia, these church forests sustain people. They are peaceful places of refuge and hope where life may flourish. We hope these days of Advent have similarly been a refuge for you amid any surrounding darkness or desert. Our guest has been Philippe Lazzaro, Communication Manager and Storyteller for Plant with Purpose. You can learn more about Plant with Purpose by clicking on the link from our website, byuradio.org/constantwonder. Tomorrow, one last door to open on this Advent calendar. Join with us on Christmas Day for a closing reflection. I'll be connecting the organic song of one of nature's great cycles with the season of Christmas. This episode was produced by Jess Scoville with help from Amelia Scott. You can listen to all of Advent on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Marcus Smith. Constant Wonder is a production of BYU Radio. Thanks for listening.